Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Have you been breathing this week? I hope so. And thank you if you want to raise your hand. We've been talking about how to encounter God through breath, right? And I'm not talking some new agey weird thing, but I'm talking about encountering God through the Holy Spirit, because the same word for spirit is breath in the Bible, right? And so God wants to be closer than the oxygen that we breathe in. So week one, we talked about encountering God through surrender, through waiting, and through receiving himself, right? Receiving God. And we did that through the Easter message. And if you're confused of what that is, all of this will be all buttoned up on our website if you missed any of these. Number two, we talked about supernatural CPR, so how God revives us in crisis. How many know if we don't know how to respond in crisis, we're not going to make it very far, because there's a lot of crisis around us, right? And so we talked about committing our situation to God, right? C, we talked about P, speaking past proof of who God is through the power of testimony over our situation. And we talked about revelation, R, praying God's revelation word over our situation. So actually using the word of God to speak over our situations. Have you ever needed to pray and you have no idea what you're supposed to say, right? Even if just like the song someone taught you, sometimes all those words just leave when you need them, right? And that's when we are called to open up the Bible and speak the word of God. And then last week, we talked about healthy hearts and lungs spiritually. And we talked about the sozo salvation of Jesus, that Jesus came to actually heal our heart and heal our capacity to have him in our lives through the power of forgiveness, through the power of getting rid of any lies we're believing about who he is and who we are and receiving his truth. Amen. So are you tracking with me? Okay, so we're wrapping up today, but keep on breathing after this, please. But we're talking about how to breathe in a low oxygen world. So some of you guys might be like, but Pastor, I'm learning how to walk through a crisis. That's helpful. I'm learning how to walk in salvation. But what do I do about breathing in the world today because there's no oxygen around me? Who's in a low oxygen environment, right? I'm not talking about necessarily just at home. Maybe it's in your workplace or your school or wherever you spend your time. You're like, the people around me don't even know what air is. And if I start breathing, I'm going to look like a really weird person, or I don't know how to actually sustain breath where I am, right? And sometimes that's even in our homes, and that can be very challenging and wearing us down. So low oxygen breathing symptoms. Again, my last Sunday giving a medical, medical disclaimer. I am not a medical doctor. Last time I have to say that, hopefully. I'm going to change the sermon series so I don't have to go medical again. Low oxygen breathing symptoms include a headache. Has anyone turned on the news and gotten a headache? Anybody? If you haven't, God bless you. That's fantastic. How about difficulty breathing? How many are just fine with God? Like you're having a wonderful day, everything's going perfectly, and then you get out of bed, right? And you have some difficulty. Anyone face difficulty when you roll out of bed? How about rapid heart rate? Anyone struggling with anxiety, right? That is a very high percentage of us in this room. How about confusion? Who's just really confused at what in the world is going on in our world, right? We're just flat out confused. I'm just giving up. I'm just confused at this point. Or maybe you're like, you know what? I am really confused about who I am. Because when we hang out in a confusing environment, it's really easy to get confused about who we are then. Bluish color in skin. Who has just stopped recognizing yourself sometimes? Right? You're in such a low oxygen environment, you can't feel God anywhere in your environment that you just look in the mirror one day and you're like, I don't even know who I am anymore. I don't even recognize myself, right? Or I don't recognize my marriage, or I don't recognize my goals, or I don't recognize how I'm treating myself or how I'm treating whoever is in my life, right? And then the last one is wheezing. I love this because it says there's a rattling sound in the chest. And I love that because we just talked about Ezekiel 37, where you hear a rattling of the dry bones, right? So who hears some rattling, right? That's not pleasant. All right, we're going to move through that because anyone who doesn't like being a doctor or nurse was like, ugh. So that's me. So the Bible is filled with all these real life stories of men and women who had everything perfect going on, right? No, right? Clearly not. Actually, when Jesus was alive, one study showed that 90% of people were living in poverty. So maybe that 10% were extremely wealthy, but you had 90%, right? How about this statistic? And I couldn't do a ton of research on this, so it may be off a little bit, but 50 to 60% of tax, it was like 50, what would it be? 50 to 60% of income was taxed. I think that would be how you talk about that. So if anybody's like, I don't know how to be a Christian in New York, just talk to Jesus, because he was a Christian. He was like kind of the first Christian, right? And he had 50 to 60% taxes. So, you know, just some life perspective. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I'm just saying Jesus knew how to breathe in low oxygen environments. Low oxygen being extreme suffocation financially. How about social justice issues, political extremes, persecutions, wars, and disease, right? That is the definition of low oxygen environment. So I think it's very easy for us in today's society, and depending on the season of life we're in, to think that everything is going to someplace in a handbasket, right? But even Jesus, when he was alive, was dealing with some very strong extremes. And there's a temptation to think, oh, woe is me that I have to be alive right now, or what could God possibly do right now? But instead, what if we just look at the life of Jesus because it's still applicable for us, right? Are you following? So we have in the Bible people that were in famine, in abundance, in palaces, in poverty. We have people that are single, that are married, that are widowed, that are childless, that have big families, that are old, that are young, all walking with Emmanuel. And I think it's so easy for us to disqualify ourselves because I don't have this, or I have this, or I'll never get that, or I had this, or whatever it is. It's so easy to disqualify us, but God isn't disqualifying anyone here. Our level of challenges or our life season or relationship status does not define the level of Holy Spirit relationship that we can walk in. If it did, Corrie Ten Boom, if you know her life at all, she hid Jews during World War II, and then she was in a concentration camp. She's one of my heroes. I fell in love with her years ago and her life story. But if challenges determined the depth of relationship with God, she would have had the worst relationship with God ever, right? It would have been awful. Instead, she had one of the sweetest, most pure relationships with God. So whatever you're going through today doesn't get to define how deep of a breath you can breathe. And some of us just need to be reminded of that. The first thing Holy Spirit did after Jesus was baptized, it says the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, right? What does that mean? It means that the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, led Jesus into a place where there was no physical breath. It was a place of isolation, of hunger, of even temptation that Jesus had to overcome by the Spirit. Which means that even Jesus, right off the bat, wanted us to know that if you're in a situation where you don't feel you can physically breathe, that the breath of God can and will sustain you. Amen. And it was always intended to sustain you. Amen? So if I told you I was going to outer space, but without one of those astronaut suits with the helmet on, you know, I was like going to call you guys and I forgot. I was like, do you guys have a helmet at your store? Probably not. But I wanted an astronaut helmet, right? Because if I was going to outer space and didn't have one of those, what chance of survival would you give me? Like, you know, being generous. Come on, have faith in me. Come on, really? Zero? Negative 35. That's why Rod's an elder. He's honest. If we don't center our lives on the breath of God, on the Spirit of God, and we don't understand how to steward and protect and cultivate a life with Holy Spirit, we have the exact same chance of survival. And I'm not talking about heaven and hell survival. I'm not talking about salvation. There we go. I would have a zero chance of survival, right? And how many have had that zero chance before you met God? Maybe you had relationships, situations, and everything just started to explode. And it's not all a cakewalk when you get saved, but what you get is someone who will sustain you no matter what you're going through, right? You get an astronaut hat or a helmet. I don't know what they call those. I was going to try and Google it, and I forgot. So I don't think we have any NASA. We don't have anyone getting their degree. Okay, good. We used to have someone who was like going to go work in NASA after Cornell, and they used to come here, so I'm glad they're not here anymore for this sermon. An astronaut puts his trust in his oxygen tank and isn't intimidated by the universe, right? You never heard of an astronaut that puts all his suit on, he goes out and he's like, but there's no oxygen out there. Who cares? He's designed for it, right? How many know we've got the armor of God on us? It's way better than an astronaut suit. Whatever. I wish I knew the technical term for that. It's way better than that. Because we are sustained by something that is outside of the environment that you are in. If you try to sustain yourself on the environment you are in, you will suffocate. Because you were designed to breathe in something that is outside your environment. Outside of any toxicity, outside of any trauma, outside of any dysfunction that you are experiencing in your life. Some of us are saying, I'm stuck here in this place that's not healthy. God wants to deliver you out, but he also wants to teach you how to breathe in something that is outside of the environment you're in. Are you following me? So today we're going to talk about God's oxygen reserve for us. Number one, God's oxygen reserve is named Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit is one of the most misunderstood parts of God ever, right? Let's just clear this up. Holy Spirit is not a denomination, all right? Holy Spirit is not an object. Holy Spirit is not an it. Holy Spirit is not a female. Holy Spirit is not a male. Holy Spirit is God. Holy Spirit is not a mystical power like the Force, right? Holy Spirit, this one is going to be a little hard for those of us that like good atmospheres, but Holy Spirit is not a good atmosphere. Holy Spirit is not a good vibe. You might walk in here and it might be like, oh, this place is nice. That might not be Holy Spirit. We might just have like cleaned the floor and done the lights right. All that's great, but that's not Holy Spirit, right? Holy Spirit is, I think I already said this, but Holy Spirit is not a denomination. He's not a music genre, he's not a preaching style, and he's not an outfit that someone can put on and take off. Holy Spirit is not weird. I heard John Bevere say this once. He said, anyone that's weird with Holy Spirit was weird without Holy Spirit. Don't put it on Holy Spirit, right? And you know what? Some of us are weird, and that's okay. That's all right. But don't put it on Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is God. Holy Spirit is Emmanuel. And yes, I just used one of Jesus' names for Holy Spirit. But they're all God, right? It's the Godhead, three in one. And I heard that once described like an ice cube and a water, right? Water can take on the form of different, it can look like an ice cube, it can look like snow. Most of us know that, right? It can be hail, it can be liquid, it can be frozen, but it's all water. It never changes. And God has different forms, but he is one God. Amen? And it's incredibly important that we get Holy Spirit right, because Holy Spirit is Jesus's plan A for us on earth ever since he left. And so if the enemy can kind of twist how we see Holy Spirit, and we can be afraid of Holy Spirit, like, well, I don't want to fall down, or I don't want to cry, or I don't want to laugh, or I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, or I don't want to do this, or whatever it is, or someone did that to me and they called it Holy Spirit and now I don't know what to do. If the enemy can kind of cloud who Holy Spirit is, we actually miss out on a third of who God is, and actually the fullness of who God is on earth right now, right? This is incredibly important. This is life or death. This is whether you will suffocate or breathe. Are you following? So we read in the Word, Jesus was conceived by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. The first miracle was done by the Spirit. He spoke by the Spirit, and he was led by the Spirit. What makes you think that you can do anything without the Spirit if Jesus didn't? That's a really cocky statement. If you don't need Holy Spirit, I don't know what you need, but you need something. You need help. Because we all need oxygen. We all need oxygen, right? We don't debate. You don't have these, like, you don't have a political group that's like, well, we don't really need oxygen. I mean, maybe we do now. I don't know. But whole lot, I wouldn't be surprised. But, you know, we don't need oxygen. No one's out there arguing over whether we need oxygen or not. And the church really doesn't need to argue anymore about whether we need Holy Spirit or not. Because he is our breath. He is the very oxygen that we breathe. Holy Spirit is a third of the Godhead. So he has a, I love this. There's a study by John Bevere that I looked at for some of this message. I believe the book is called Holy Spirit. Really, really a great read. It's a phenomenal book. I recommend it. But also the reason I'm doing this message is because we are going to be focusing our Thrive Nights on the Holy Spirit. So if you want to learn more about this, we're going to get really practical. This isn't going to be some sermon on Wednesday nights. This is a discussion. There are going to be different ages, different ways to learn and to get to know God. So I encourage you to come to Thrive Nights. But Holy Spirit has a mind. That's in Romans 8. Holy Spirit has a will. That's in 1 Corinthians 12. Holy Spirit has emotions. That's in Galatians 5. Holy Spirit can be grieved. That's in Ephesians 4. Holy Spirit can be resisted. That's in Acts 7. Holy Spirit can comfort and encourage. That's in Acts 9. And Holy Spirit teaches. That's in 1 Corinthians 2. That was a lot. But the point is, it's biblical. And Holy Spirit has a personality. Holy Spirit is real, right? It says, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. He is our oxygen. Holy Spirit is God's idea of something better than Jesus on earth. Isn't that amazing? Holy Spirit is God's idea of something better than Jesus on earth. And if you're thinking I'm, you know, speaking heresy, it says, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. That is John 16:7 in Jesus' own words. So we have something right now that is so real and so tangible for our lives. My question is, are we with Holy Spirit? And I was on an airplane this week because I was at a leadership event. And so I got to write this sermon in the sky, which I have never done before. It was like I was in the middle row between two people with my little laptop, and I was like typing away, and I was listening to an audiobook by John Bevere on the Holy Spirit, and I was getting so rocked by the Holy Spirit. I was like, I could feel Holy Spirit so strong, because there's something here. When you talk about Holy Spirit, you start to experience him, right? And I'm not talking about, you know, some of us are like, well, I've never felt Holy Spirit, so I don't know what. No. Holy Spirit isn't a feeling, remember? He's not a mystic power. He's God. So we all experience him differently, and that's okay. But I started getting rocked by Holy Spirit, and it was so cool because I looked out the window, and I saw the sky, and I saw the earth, and I was like, am I closer to Holy Spirit up in the sky? I don't know. That's probably not theological, but I love that idea, right? We're up high. I know my shoelace is untied. Don't write it down. All right. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, say grace. Grace. And the love of God, say love. And the communion of the Holy Spirit, say communion, be with you all. Now, last time I checked, it's supposed to be the communion of Jesus, right? Don't we do communion to remember Jesus? But for some reason here, it's saying the communion of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting? So communion means partnership, means help, means participation, means sharing in, means companion. So may the companionship, may the partnership, may the help of Holy Spirit be with you. Isn't that beautiful? That was the prayer in 2 Corinthians. So my question is, who is Holy Spirit to you? It's really easy, if you have a more of a charismatic background, to maybe think that Holy Spirit is some mystic thing that, you know, maybe a good vibe or something. Or maybe some of us have a background where we don't even know who Holy Spirit is, and we're just kind of freaked out. Like, why are they waving a flag? Or, oh, why are they raising their hands? What's going on here? Or some of us maybe have been in a charismatic church for so long, we're like, Holy Spirit is wild and wacky and let's go, right? And poor Holy Spirit, I have to say, Holy Spirit is God, right? So if you're wondering who Holy Spirit is, open your Bible and read who God is. That's Holy Spirit. And then let's start treating him that way. Let's start honoring him. Let's not blame him for stuff that he has nothing to do with. And let's respect the presence of God, because it is a matter of life or death whether we're breathing oxygen or not in our lives, in our personal life, in our church. We want to honor the Holy Spirit. Amen? So number two is Holy Spirit is enough. How many know if you don't believe you need oxygen and that it can help you, you won't put your astronaut helmet on when you're out in outer space, right? If an astronaut is like gone crazy and they're like, I don't need a helmet, I'm just going to go out there. That's not a good idea, right? But yes? Extravehicular mobility unit. EMU. I don't think that helped my sermon analogy at all, but thank you. Put your EMU on. If you're on Facebook, someone just, they're like, should I get saved? I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. Stay with me. All right. So if you're in outer space and you're like, I don't need my EMU, I don't need my oxygen tank. I'm going to go with oxygen tank. I'm just going to be politically incorrect here this morning. They're like, I'm just going to go out in outer space because I have faith. I don't need this. How many know if you don't need something, you're not going to actually make the time to sacrifice to have it? It's just a fact. If you don't need food, you're not gonna bother eating. Some of us like to work really hard and forget to eat. And it's because we're like, we don't need food. We're just going to do sheer determination, right? Anybody? Maybe not. Some of us have that instinct. Or maybe you're like, I don't need sleep. I'm not going to make time for it. What we think we don't need, we don't make time for, whether we need it or not, right? Some of us find out the hard way we really needed something, right? And so it's the same with oxygen. It's the same with Holy Spirit. If we don't say we need Holy Spirit, then we're not going to make room for him in our lives, and we're going to suffocate. So it says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. That's my favorite name of God. But how many have ever wished that you were alive when Jesus was alive? Anybody? I just love this because I definitely have said that before. So the only issue is, have you ever logistically thought about how this would work? And this was in John Bevere's book, and I had to share it because it was just too good. Because he's like, how would that actually work? We do realize Jesus was fully man, fully God, right? He actually escaped the crowds, right? And sometimes, right? And he was tired, he was hungry, he slept, right? We see Mark 1 and John 4, we see him having more of the human of Jesus, even though he was fully God, right? So if Jesus was alive right now, if a million people, a million of us wanted 60 seconds with him and lined up and he spent 14 hours a day, so we got a little sleep, but we could ask our one question to Jesus in 60 seconds, that would be 840 people a day for 60 seconds. That would be over 3 years to reach a million people. How many know that's not a great plan, right? Did you track with me? Instead, he sent the Holy Spirit, right? But imagine there was like one oxygen tank left on the planet and everyone had to line up to get a 60-second breath. I wrote that down and then I thought, that sounds like a really scary movie that I don't want to see, but like someone's going to make it. I they're probably watching, like a producer, right? It's a sci-fi. You have to, you know, line up, get your oxygen, and then leave for 60 seconds. So your 60-second breath. That'd be the name of it, 60-second breath. I'm just putting that out there. I used to do movies. But how many of us treat God like this, right? Either we just are like, hey, we missed it 2,000 years ago, or we line up to get our 60-second breath one day a week. I'm sorry, it was a 60-minute breath, right? And that's how we try to live. We're on a planet that has all the right conditions to breathe. Have you ever thought about this? It's like the only planet. I did research. Apparently, there are like a couple other planets. They're like, are there aliens? I don't know. I'm not preaching that this morning. But as of right now, this is the only planet that has the conditions to breathe. And yet, the more I thought about it, the more I thought, this is the only planet where humanity thinks that there are no conditions to breathe. How many of us have thought, you know, if I could just get to the moon, I'd have peace and quiet. I could just take a deep breath. Anybody ever thought that? Like, is there any other planet I can go to, right? Maybe it's been a long day at work, or it's been a rough day with a family member or a boss or whatever it is, and you're like, I just need to get away for just 60 seconds. Let me get out of planet Earth's atmosphere into another planet, right? The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they would have life and have it abundantly. I said that last week, and remember I kind of paraphrased it with the root words to mean the thief comes only to rush you and make you breathe hard and lose it. And I came so that you would have a greater and excessive breath. If the enemy can make you believe that you can't breathe where you are called to be, you will never experience the oxygen that Jesus died to give you. And worse, you will never be able to share it. It's like one of the greatest lies any of us could believe. I can't thrive where I am. And if we stop believing that, we'll actually start to be able to see, wait a minute, God has all the oxygen, all the Holy Spirit that I have ever needed is right here. If I'm called to be planted here, there is enough. And it's so easy. We can just believe, you know, there's not enough God for my situation. There's not enough God for my diagnosis. There's not enough God for my whatever it is. And when we start to believe that, we start to miss what God died to give us. We have access through the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you following me this morning? A few years ago, and I know I'm almost done here. A few years ago, we took a team to Salem, Massachusetts on Halloween night, and we got to witness and minister to a bunch of witches and a bunch of people trying all sorts of supernatural stuff. And we had, you know, 24-hour worship going on back at the church, and then we sent teams out. And we got to prophesy, which just meant we were asking God for an encouraging word for people, and then we were praying for them. And we had people getting healed. There were like hundreds that got healed. How many know, not only healed, but like saved? Amen? And how many know that that is like one of the most suffocating environments, right? And then another time, Judith and I got to go to Scotland. I was going to say Ireland, but not Ireland. Scotland, and we got to go to a giant arts festival where similarly, there was a lot of witchcraft, a lot of weird stuff, people trying out all sorts of fun stuff that's not fun. And we got to go out in teams and actually pray for people and see people get saved. And there have been people that had had dreams of Jesus, but they didn't know it was Jesus like the night before. And then we're like, they were like, oh my gosh, it was Jesus, wasn't it? As they're talking. It was amazing. But how many know if we don't believe we can breathe in the places God has called us to breathe, we'll never, first off, breathe, but we'll also never share God in those places. It's imperative that the church believe that there's enough Holy Spirit for everything going on in the world. The minute we don't believe that is the minute we become part of the problem. And there's way too much at stake to be part of the problem. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. There is a cloud of witnesses shouting that there is enough. There is enough. And, you know, I think of all the traumatic times in history, because there's some really weird times in history where some really awful stuff was happening internationally and stuff over the last 2,000 years. And I think, man, there are witnesses in that cloud from those times saying, hey, don't give up. There is enough of God. There's still enough. There's still enough oxygen. There's still enough to sustain you. You're going through this hard time. There's still enough of God to sustain you. Amen? It says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Even Jesus said, you're going to need a reminder. Some of us are like, I don't know why I keep needing to be reminded of who God is. Well, even Jesus said it. You're going to need to be reminded. Don't have condemnation today. But that word advocate means intercessor, means consoler, means comforter, means paraclete, which means a lawyer. I did not say parakeet. I said paraclete. I realized I said that real fast. Lawyer or attorney. And that word means a legal advocate who makes the right judgment call because one is too close to the situation. Jesus is saying you're going to be in suffocating situations, but I've already given you all the breath that you need. You just need to breathe in and breathe out. And Jesus showed us that by being in the wilderness for 40 days when he first got his breath. He wanted to show us right off the bat. Some of us feel like we got saved and then all hell broke loose. And he's saying, hey, there is still enough of my breath to sustain you. Come on. Amen. So why don't you stand on your feet this morning? It says, there is a time coming and now has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That word spirit means breath as well. And in truth, I love truth because that means reality. We are called to worship God in reality and with our breath, right? That means the answer to living in a suffocated world isn't to hide and isn't to ignore what's happening either. And it isn't to hold our breath. It isn't to get the wind knocked out of us continually and need resuscitation every 5 minutes or every Sunday. It's to actually walk in a spirit-living relationship with the breath of God in our daily lives and to come together on a Sunday and learn how to breathe in together. Because there's a lot of oxygen where two or three or more are gathered. There I will be, right? Says Jesus. So if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit or his breath who dwells in you. Remember, an astronaut isn't intimidated by the lack of oxygen or the space debris flying at it because it has a suit that was designed to protect it. It has an oxygen tank that was designed to sustain him, right? And he trained and he ate the proper nutrition so he was in shape so his muscles and his bones don't decay. I guess that's like the word. I looked it up. It was really traumatizing. I was like, that sounds horrible. But how many know that if we aren't exercising our spiritual giftings, sometimes our muscles get a little bit flappy because we're not actually exercising what Jesus died to give us. We're not praying. We're not pressing in. We're not, maybe some of us haven't witnessed in a long time. And if you're like, what does that mean? We'll talk about that in the coming months. But I'm just saying there are commands in the Bible that God invites us to participate in. Remember, Holy Spirit wants us to participate with him. He is our partner, our companion, right? And we're called to exercise those spiritual giftings. We're called to take in the proper nutrition with the word of God. And then we're called to breathe the Holy Spirit in and out. I know you're standing. Don't worry. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, suddenly there was a noise and a rattling sound. And the bones came together. Ezekiel 37. And then when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the house where they were sitting. Acts 2. God wants to do a suddenly in your life this morning. He wants to breathe oxygen into you. Some of you guys feel like the air has been knocked out of you, like we talked about this month. Life has just hit you. Some of you are experiencing a crisis and need God to revive you today. Some of you feel like dry bones and you just need a flat out resurrection. You've been through a trauma, you've been through something in your past or maybe present, and you just feel dry. It's time to come back to the basics with Jesus. And maybe some of you are like, you know what? I have been trying to actually cultivate this, but I have a heart for the region. And instead of just speaking out negativity or chaos, I'm going to speak out and prophesy to the dry bones in the region, in the school, in my workplace, in my circles of community, even in the church and outside of the church. And so I want to do something that's a little bit brave. We haven't done this in a long time, and we're 5 minutes over, and I get that. I'm going to pray a blessing over you, but I want to do an altar call this morning because it's the last sermon of our series, and I think it would be disrespectful of Holy Spirit if we didn't actually take a moment to honor him in this place even more than we have already. So if you have felt like the wind has been knocked out of you, like you need to be revived, like you need to get CPR in a crisis right now that you're in, or maybe you have a burden for the region or for your family that's not here, or for a situation going on even internationally, and you want to speak life, and you're like, you know what, I want a fresh outpouring of Holy Spirit in my life so that I can breathe out oxygen. I want to invite you up to the front. And core team, if you aren't running up here right now, you better get up off the seat, because that is, as a leadership team, I know that is exactly our hearts for us, ourselves, and our church. And I want to just pray a blessing over you, all right? Maybe some of you today also have no idea what's going on. You're like, Holy Spirit, but how do I get Holy Spirit? Or maybe you're saved, but you're like, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You can also come up to the front. Y'all don't need to, you can like, yeah. You know, we haven't done an altar call in way too long. We don't even know how to organize it. Yeah, just fill this up. Fill it up. It's all right. We'll do more of these. We'll do more of these. And I know this might feel awkward if you're not used to getting up out of your chair in church, and that's all right. If you want to receive where you're at, God will meet you where you are. But I want to just invite you again, if you want to receive from Holy Spirit, just open up your hands to receive. And I just want to pray a blessing over you. I want to bless you with the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you. I bless you with a joy that overflows. I bless you with a peace that subdues. I bless you with a patience that endures. I bless you with kindness in action. I bless you with a life full of virtue. I bless you with faith that prevails. I bless you with gentleness of heart. And I bless you with strength of spirit. For these are meant to be limitless. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. So Holy Spirit, we just honor you in this place. And we just make a renewal of our commitment to you, Holy Spirit, at Thrive, that we honor you here. You are welcome here. God, and forgive us when we've made it anything other than you. Whether it's been we've just been distracting or we've ignored what you're doing or we've grieved you. Holy Spirit, have your way and do what you've always wanted to do and Thrive this year. And let it begin with us, because each of us represent Thrive. And God, we just speak resurrection life over every dream that has died, over every dry bone that is represented here in every situation, in every relationship, in every financial situation, in every career move, in every health situation. We just speak your resurrection life, and we release it in this place. We put more faith in what you can do, God, than what anything else is going on right now. And we trust you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.